2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is your MLB Daily Dispatch brought to you by DFSArmy.com. And I am your host today, Boomer's Daddy. And joining me is the one, the only, the yearly appearance of the one Chapadong. What's up, brother?
What's up, dude? Long time, no time.
Well, at least for
first
the
time
pod,
caller,
anyways.
Long time listener.
You mean you actually listen to the pod?
Hey, on occasion when I get time, sure.
Well, see, it's been kind of crazy this MLB season already because we've got the influx of riders. We've got, the more responsibilities as we grow. So I haven't had the chance to actually hop on. Al's been in and out of flux and everything. So it's been kind of crazy as far as trying to get.
You're going to say in and out of rehab.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's all about, you know. It's all about that. So it's kind of one of those things, like, we haven't got around to it. We are going to try to get back on a regular schedule now. It's going to start this week, hopefully. So it's still kind of weird because it had a lot of we had a lot of split slates because of the beginning of MLB, just like always, which I don't really understand usually. But, you know, whatever. So we've got,
bad weather,
My gosh, it's been really bad to start out. We've got 8 games on the slate today. It's going to be a little bit of a hodgepodge, and hopefully the White Sox don't change their starter for the fourth time today. So, that'll be good to, make sure we really, really, really do get everything going. So. Let's start it out. Where do you want to start? Let me ask that. You want to start in New York, or you want to start in Baltimore?
It doesn't matter to me. I mean, we can just go right down the list in order for all I care. I got it all written down, brother. I'm ready. You're going to make me look like an idiot, like I said before. You're going to ask me questions on the stuff that I'm not targeting. I just know you. But outside of that, I'm ready to rock.
All right, let's start in New York. We've got Minnesota in New York, Masahiro Tanaka and Jake Odorizzi on the bump today. That total is sitting there at an 8.5 with Masahiro Tanaka at a minus 204. Man, it's a little bit I don't know. There was a guy that was in the Slack chat earlier, and he was asking me about what I thought about Masahiro Tanaka. And I guess there was an article that was written that, you know, for guys like me and you who kind of know exactly how these Eastern style pitchers attack major league hitters, it doesn't really shock me. But he was talking about how Tanaka's not being able to get swings and misses on his breaking stuff. And he's pitching backwards still with no results. And they're just waiting on fastballs and he's getting crushed. I want to add into that he's missing in the zone. Like, he's throwing strikes and he's throwing a lot of strikes, but he's missing in the zone. And that's not good. Especially in a sport where, you know, just as well as I do, a quarter of an inch is the difference between a 3-run home run and a strikeout. It's that subtle of a difference. The problem I have with Masahiro Tanaka, I think Vegas is underestimating the Minnesota Twins tonight. Not saying that Tanaka can't go and get the win and that the Yankees aren't going to put up 5 runs and, you know, stuff like that. I just think that the implied total for Minnesota, which is under 3.5, is a little low. Like, this is a feisty baseball team. This is a team that, You know, they've got Eddie Rosario, Miguel Sano. And I know Eddie Rosario isn't like a feared hitter when you think of cleanup hitters, but Brian Dozier's on a 23-game hitting streak. Logan Morrison's is got to be coming around at some point. I mean, this is a pesky little feisty team, and they might not rock Tanaka out of the ballpark, but in my opinion, they can nickel and dime him. And I mean, they're just going to single and double him to death. And that's just kind of the way that I feel.
I think it's amazing. You and I see things so oppositely sometimes because I'm pretty simplistic, pretty chalky, pretty cash game oriented, and you're the consummate contrarian GPP guy. So I mean, it's like I haven't talked to you for a year on a podcast, and we pick up right where we left off.
I
It's
just,
amazing.
it's just one of those things that
I see what you're saying, but you worry me a little bit because, I mean, the way I see it, it's a little bit different. And I know, and the way when you said that about Tanaka, where I immediately went was something that I got told a long, long time ago. I knew a two-sport athlete that was a quarterback and a pitcher, and the guy told me, he goes, "Hey, Chip, you know when you know how Dad always hangs the tire swing in the backyard, and you practice, you know, they swing it, and you practice throwing your footballs through it." You know, I'm like, "Yeah, that's always a cool drill." He goes, "Baseball's the exact opposite." He goes, "You hold it still and you try to hit the tire." He goes, "You can't throw it through the tire because you got to hit the tire because that's on the outsides of the strike zone." He's like,
Yep.
"If you miss the tire on the outside of the tire, it's a ball. If you throw it right through the middle of the tire, yeah, great pitch. It got rocked over the wall." He's like, "You have to hit the tire." So what you're saying when you say Tanaka's missing in the zone, that's kind of what I see. What you're saying is he's not hitting the black. He's missing in the middle. He's not missing outside the zone, he's missing inside the zone, meaning he's catching way too much of the plate and he's getting
Exactly.
nailed, which he does.
Exactly.
So, and that's all fine and good with the way those guys pitch and whatnot. And I still think, though, that Tanaka is my number two on the slate. And the reason why is, again, I look very simplistically. I love MDL, Matt, when he's on his pitching articles inside DFS Army, because he really does a good job at breaking down the numbers. A lot like Mitch, when Donuts is really on the ball, he's breaking down numbers. These guys that we have are very detail oriented. I'm more superficial in that I just look at a few key things, and it usually puts us on the same guys. It's just they've got much better reasons for why than I do. When I look, I'm looking at K score, which is my own little thing, Vegas odds, and price point. And I see the Vegas has me a -200. So I'm very confident that the Yankees are going to win the game, which puts Tanaka in a good position to maybe get the win. And then I see that Tanaka's K score is up around 500, which means on a sliding scale, he's roughly striking out 25% of hitters, and they're roughly striking out 25% as a team, which adds to that number 500. He's just under that. So Minnesota's striking out. He's getting some swings and misses still. As long as he doesn't get shelled for three, four, five runs, he should be in line for the win. And compared to the rest of the slate, I like him. I like his chances. Now, I like others a little bit more and whatnot, but at the same time, so therefore it takes me off of Minnesota. So one thing I did for you when I was looking at Yankees bats, which I know we weren't talking about, but when I'm on a pitcher for you and your purposes in a podcast, what I'm going to do is I'll look at the opposing BVP just to see if anybody really hammers the guy good. And I came up with Eduardo Escobar, who had pretty good BVP numbers against Tanaka. I think he's 6-for-13 with a 440 wOBA. So, yeah, it's possible, you know, that these things can happen. Tanaka can give up a lot of runs. I don't know to who, because I don't see anybody really knocking the cover off the ball in Minnesota. I think they're like a bottom 10 WRC plus team in the league right now, which doesn't mean they can't turn it around. It just means that right now they're not really going that great. So I don't see them as a real big threat. You know, so taking any twin would be pretty GPP only for me. And in cash games, Tanaka to me is okay. And I'd be loading up on Yankees bats like no other.
I don't know. I can't do Tanaka in cash, in GPP, in any aspect. I mean, 342 wOBA overall. It's even worse at home. I mean, yeah, it's due to come back down a little bit, but I mean, I can't do it. I know why he's probably going to be up there in ownership. If you just look at some of the actual what's the word I'm looking for? Quality of pitching that's on the hill today, then yeah, I can kind of understand that. But it just from the eye test,
Well,
man, he
that
just does not look good right now. It's
sure, and I get
more
that, but
of
that's what we're comparing to. We're always looking at what the slate offers us.
Yeah,
You know,
exactly.
the
So
best guy on the slate might be a piece of crap on another slate, but he's the best we got. So that's when we get into those situations where we're like, I don't like any of the pitching today. I can't believe I actually have to pick one of these turds and put them in my lineup because they're all going to get shelled. It's just who gets shelled the least. You know, so I can see it, but.
that's one of those ones where you just like, all right, Chad Bettis, you're in Denver, you're actually in play today because of this.
That's when you hit an optimizer and you don't lock in a pitcher. Instead, you lock in a bat or two and just go, whatever pitcher it gives me is fine with me.
Yeah, I mean, by DFSA grades, Tanaka is not highly up there. I mean, he's sitting there, actually he is. He's sitting there at a 91. It's not our top pitcher of the day, but he is definitely up there. And I don't know. There's not too
No,
many
that's
times
fine.
I
That's perfectly
disagree
fine.
with
And
it, but
I can tell you what's going to end up happening with me. He's going to get caught in the middle because I'm either going to pay up a little bit to the number one pitcher on the slate, or I'm going to pay way down to get Yankees bats or into Coors or something like that.
yeah.
So to me, Tanaka's going to, he's my number two. That doesn't mean that I'm going to take him much. You know what I mean? Because I mean, I see the safety thing and whatever else, but I also see other pitchers on the slate that I like better. So, what kind of bats do you like? Because I can run down the Yankees bats really quick and then just turn you loose to tell me what you
I
want to tell
hate
me.
playing Yankees bats right now.
That's an ownership thing with you, is it
Yeah,
not?
it's in tournaments it is, but Stanton, yeah, he's Stanton. Oh, I just don't think Stanton like actually likes hitting in April, to be
Well,
honest.
yeah, not, I was going to say not yet.
He's not yet. He's just one of those guys that I just don't think he likes hitting in April. But I mean, Didi Gregorius is probably my favorite out of the bunch, to be completely
Let me
honest.
ask you this. Now, given the start that Mike Trout's off to, who still do you think leads the league in home runs at the end of the year? Do you think Stanton gets him, or do you think that it's going to be a Trout or a Judge or a Harper, or do you think that Stanton
Are we talking about
does
all
what
of
he did
MLB?
last year, which is kind of like, yeah, all of MLB kind of comes out of nowhere again? I mean, you might
I
even say
don't
Nolan
think it is.
Arenado. I don't care.
No, I don't think it is. I think it. I honestly think it might be Bryce Harper.
Okay. But do you
It, you
think
know,
Stanton's going to
it's.
be up there in like top five?
I mean, I could see it. Yeah.
Okay. I mean,
Just
bottom line,
because
he's going
he.
to pretty much get his.
Yeah, but like for
Just
me,
not yet.
he just exactly for me, it's like he's pressing a little bit. We've heard him get booed in Yankee Stadium, which is fine. You pay to boo, you do whatever you
Oh, yeah.
want. But like let me
Hey,
put
they
it
flip a bat when they hit a homer, I'm going to boo them when they miss.
let me put it this way, okay? The Yankees are not going to the playoffs if Stanton does not have a good year. Like they need this guy. Like they need both Judge and Stanton. This lineup is built around these two. Didi Gregorius cannot carry this lineup for the entirety of the season, and Stanton he closed off his stance a little bit more. He's trying to take advantage of that short porch in right field too much, I feel. Like he's altering his swing based on the stadium that he's at now, and it doesn't like it's like he's thinking too much now. I don't know. It's just he does not look comfortable right now at the plate. I thought going
I
up against
agree.
Jaime Garcia yesterday would have helped a little bit. That's a pitcher he's typically owned in his career. He was like 7 for 15 going in with three bombs, and it didn't work. So when ownership on a pitcher that isn't like an elite guy, it's just
No, I agree 100%. He's absolutely, but I still, for more of my cash game slants, I'm not touching Stanton. He's not even on my list. And honestly, Didi was, but Didi's not now because Didi has no BVP against Odorizzi at all. It's really bad. So when I looked at that, I was like, you know, the guys that I would take if I'm looking at Yankees bats, Aaron Judge, of course, Sanchez, probably take a little Gary Sanchez, and that little punk, that Andujar that came up out of nowhere. If you watch these guys, a lot of their hard contact is trending up. And that's always a good thing. When you're hitting the ball harder and harder and harder and harder, it will eventually find holes. You know, if I look at Judge, I think he's got a – well, his BVP, I mean, he's 2-for-5 with a dong against Odorizzi. Now, I know that's a really small sample size, and I'm your BVP small sample size ninja. But, I mean, you're also looking at him. He's getting on base over 40% of the time. You know, his WOBA's like a 420. Is opsing over 1,000. I mean – I didn't think Judge would be doing this.
Yeah,
at this point, I thought he'd be regressing. He's picking up kind of right where he left off last year. I think he's great actually, but he's going one way and Stanton's kind of going the other. Stanton's hard contact is trending up. I will say that, but I'm not ready to jump on that wagon yet.
I'm not either. Not until he actually shows that he can actually put a good swing on a ball instead of look like he's pulling off of it. Like,
right.
I
that was his issue all last year. You know, not to spend 20 minutes on Stanton, but that was his issue last year.
Yeah, the beginning part. That's why he closed up his stance.
Right, until he got it fixed up a little bit, and then he started slamming on. He looks, to me, that swing looks a little bit like Jason Hayward's. They look like they're kind of always trying to pull the ball down the line or whatever, and they don't – just, I don't know. Stanton's a way better hitter than Jason Hayward, though. I wasn't even comparing the two in that regard.
Yeah. So, all right, let's go on to Cleveland and Baltimore here. Carlos Carrasco, Kevin Gausman. Carrasco's a 179 favorite. Game total is an 8 here. Any sort of interest in Carrasco or Gausman?
Carrasco, absolutely. It's my number one on the night.
There you go.
Okay. I mean, this is where I'm putting him in.
I will say this, okay? In tournaments, if you're not playing Carrasco, you better play Manny Machado.
So you looked at BVP numbers.
Nope. Did not.
No?
I just know what Manny's done over the last week, and it's absolutely crazy. Like, he's only 2-for-6 against Carrasco. Like,
Can we mini-stack?
With
can
who?
We mini-stack against Carrasco in tournament?
With who?
That's the question.
I mean, yeah, 1-3, I don't mind it.
It's a super, super, super tiny sample size, but he's 2-for-3 off of him, so he sees the ball pretty well. That little 2-for-3 is like a 350 WOBA, so, I mean,
I'm not,
a little bit there.
I mean, I know what Manny's been doing. Like, he's got 2 double dongs in the last week. The dude is swinging out of his mind right now. He's playing a great shortstop. If you're not playing Carrasco, you stick Manny Machado in a lineup, and you hope that he hits him. So,
I'll add this. The wind's blowing out to left at 11 miles an hour tonight, 64 degrees. It's not exactly cold.
Yeah, because all you need is for Carrasco to hang one of those benders, and he's gone.
So, boom.
All right, so here's a question with these Cleveland bats. They're not exactly lighting up the field right now.
Correct.
I still do like a lot of them. But I don't think they're absolutely a must.
Correct.
Gausman has shown the ability to shut that guy lineup down at times. But we also know that Gausman is kind of viewed around the league as a can't-get-right pitcher. You know, he's a slump, he's one of those higher-end slump busters that you can pretty much attack. So I think a lot of these guys are in play. I don't think they're necessarily guys that you have to have, but like Jose Ramirez, Frankie Lindor, like we know the guys in this lineup. I will tell you a guy that I will have a lot of exposure to tonight is Yonder Alonso. And it has nothing to do with BVP. I just know what the guy's been doing as far as hitting the ball hard. His launch angle is absolutely just off the charts right now in that sweet spot. And it's been right at guys. I don't mind going to Yonder Alonso. He's under 3K on FanDuel, and I'm probably going to have a lot of exposure to him considering that he's going to be overlooked with a lot of these other first basemen on the slate.
Oh, absolutely.
So
way overlooked by the one batting right ahead of him in Edward Encarnacion. Yeah. You know, I mean, people are going to reach for him before they reach for Yonder.
Exactly.
You know, and I mean, right or wrong, that, I mean, that's people gravitate towards big names. I don't see a lot in that offense either, because I don't see a lot that's swinging a real hot bat. I mean, I had marked down Encarnacion because I'm the chalk eater. I had Joaquin written down. I had Lindor written down as the three guys I would probably target inside that offense if I was targeting anybody. But here's the thing, and this is where it gets into dangerous territory with me, because we're getting into the time of year where we've got some stats compiled. We've got some numbers normalized a little bit. I start looking, and I put this in my channel for our guys in Slack today, where about once a week, once every couple of weeks, I'm going to review the overall league numbers. And I may go back 30 days. I may go back all season long. But I want to know who's giving up runs as a team. Who is creating runs as a team offensively? You know, so I'm going to look at runs allowed, and I'm going to look at WRC plus and stuff like that, and the team hitting and team pitching numbers. And what I'm trying to find is where's that run differential? Like last week, I targeted Cincinnati like mad. Miami, I targeted against them like mad. I don't care who's pitching for them if it's not their ace or maybe their number two, like a front of the rotation guy. Now in Cincinnati, I didn't care. It was just, I'm going to take two or three bats. I may not take all four, but I'm going to take two or three bats and put them in a large portion of my lineups against those teams that are giving up runs, because it tells me their starting pitching isn't great. It tells me their bullpen is in shambles, probably because their starting pitching isn't great, and it feeds off of itself. And if you're giving up runs, I want those bats because they're going to get them somehow.
Oh, yeah.
So when I look at the numbers this week, Baltimore's giving up the second most runs on the season so far.
Oh,
so
that Baltimore bullpen is absolutely just horrific.
I want a target. I mean, gas can. He might be fine tonight. But if he's not, we get to that bullpen super early. And we've got some Cleveland bats that have a little bit of thump. A couple of guys starting to hit the ball a little bit. Turn that lineup over a couple of times. Get that fifth at bat. Maybe that sixth at bat for the top of the order. And I'm going to put up some fantasy points with Cleveland bats. I don't know where they're coming from, so I would scatter them around a little bit. But, I mean, I want to target Baltimore as much as I can.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's a good hitter's park. You've got a bad bullpen. Their closer's on the DL right now. So guys are pitching out of
– And once again, wind's blowing out.
Yeah, and the wind's blowing out. Now
– Helps.
What's the – Okay, so 11 miles an hour. It's not huge, but it's not bad. It definitely helps. So
it's not hurricane like whatever that went through Puerto Rico. I mean, hashtag too soon.
Yeah.
So, but it's still a breeze. And it's still helping.
I feel for Puerto Rico, man. Me and Heather absolutely just loved our time down there when we were down there for our honeymoon. So.
Hey, I feel for them too, but I am classless enough that I will make the joke.
Yeah, we know how
classless you are. I will take the opportunity to take that joke. So, anyway.
Getting Chad Bettis and Chad Qualls mixed up in channel this morning. You had me flipping out. I'm like,
I know I did.
Who is this guy? Like, and you weren't even doing that part on purpose.
No, not the Bettis and Qualls part. I really thought one was the other.
Yeah, exactly. So, anyways, let's move on here. I got a lot to get to. Got a short amount of time to get to it. So, we're going to kind of
fly through.
We do have Coors on the slate, and that's going to take up a little bit of time. And for those of you that have never listened to the podcast, you know why Coors, you might think you know why Coors has a little bit of time, but you don't. And I will let you know exactly when we get there. So, Oakland and Texas, Trevor Cahill versus Matt Moore. This total is a 10 in the 75 degree weather, whatever they call it now. I still call it the ballpark in Arlington. It's in Dallas, Fort Worth area. So let's talk about Trevor Cahill here, because he came out last time against the Chicago White Sox in Oakland, mind you, and absolutely shut him down, pitched a phenomenal game. How do I know? I had about 30% Chicago White Sox stacked that night, and ouch. I did not have a good night. Going up against Matt Moore, who we know is not really a great pitcher himself.
Flammable.
So
he's flammable.
Here's the issue is both of these guys, like when you've got a game outside of Coors that is rivaling Coors. I'm going to go ahead and make a bold prediction tonight. This game is going to have higher ownership than Coors Field.
Is that because cheap bats thing?
It's the cheaper bats, and everybody's wanting a reason to quote unquote fade Coors. You've got your first game fade in effect. There are air quotes going here.
Let me stop you there before you confuse the three listeners that we have.
No, I'm talking about first game fade for San Diego, not for Colorado.
Here's why I don't think that applies. And we talked about this in Slack today already. I think it matters much more for Colorado than it does San Diego. Here's the reason why. San Diego's never there long enough and often enough. I mean, they're in the division, but they're not there long enough and often enough to get used to it and to really have that change happen for them. I think it's an air density thing. I think it's a ball movement thing. And when Colorado is on the road for 4, 5, 6, 7 games and they come home, I think it's a slight adjustment. Their eyes get used to seeing a ball break a little bit more.
How'd that work out for you the other day?
It didn't. I'll tell you two things, and I'm sorry to take up time with it, but I think it's important for people to know. That makes a ton of sense to me logically, that we're used to the ball breaking a little bit more and now it doesn't. We're talking millimeters, man, and that makes the difference. Or when we go out on the road, all of a sudden the ball breaks a little bit more. We were at home for 2 weeks and we're used to it not breaking as much. So I think that first game or two has a little bit of an effect on the way those guys barrel up balls. Now, when I went back, and I don't think it matters for San Diego. I don't think it matters for St. Louis. I don't think it matters for the New York Yankees or anybody else that comes to course. They're there for 3 days. They barely get their eyes adjusted and bam, they're right back to lower altitude situations. So they never have to really adjust. So I don't think it matters much for San Diego. What I'm getting at is when we're talking about that first game fade, I went back 2 years and I looked. Last year, it really worked and it really became a thing. Their first game of a new series or a new road trip homestand was low, and then they're picked right back up where they left off. But then I went back the next year before that, 2 years ago, and said, what is that going to do? Guess what? The first game fade would have absolutely led you to the poorhouse, because their first games on a road stand or a home stand or a road series were the big games. So really and truly, we're just playing on hunches and playing on theories here. It might work, it might not. We don't really know.
I'm talking about the general DFS population. They have a lot of.
Do you think they first game fade San Diego?
Yes, everybody does.
Okay, well then that's
dumb. Everybody goes into a Coors slate trying to find a reason instead of trying to find a reason to play Coors.
I get that.
Then they try to find a reason to fade them.
I get that, but I don't get fading the away team coming into Coors on the first game as if it has some effect on them. I don't buy it at all.
Well. It's just they affect. It's stupid. But anyways, I think that this Texas owner or Oakland game garners a lot more ownership than Coors does tonight, to be completely honest with you.
Okay. I can see it for legit reasons, though. I can see this game legit shooting out. And the reason why is both pitchers can be flammable. Now, I think Cale can have a night, and he's my third pitcher tonight.
You're crazy.
I'm not saying he's crazy. No. Hold on. I'm not saying that he's ranked third. I'm not saying that he projects for the third, most points on my team. What I'm saying is if I'm not taking Carrasco or I'm not taking Tanaka, I don't mind taking Cahill in a GPP of sorts, because the dude has decent strikeout potential for what the slate is giving us. And he's dirt ass cheap.
I've got four guys that I'm targeting tonight. He's number three.
That's fine. When I looked at our DFSA grades for pitchers, he's in the bottom three. He's absolutely targetable. That's why I say I think I can see this game shoot. Now, what did we say in NFL? When a bad defense plays a bad defense, oftentimes fireworks happen.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? We've got two teams that are in the bottom 10 at runs allowed right now in Oakland and Texas both. Well, Oakland happens to be one of the top teams in WRC+. So they're scoring. They're creating runs. But they're also giving them up on the backside.
Yeah.
Why? Well, because their pitching pretty much sucks. So
their bullpen's
yeah, you're taking
shambles.
A big chance if you take him. Well, and you're taking a big chance if you take Cahill tonight.
Yeah,
but
I'm,
I can see it maybe working out for you.
I
That's
know.
All I'm not saying you should do it with everything.
I think that Cahill's going to play a lot better in Oakland than he is going to be on
sure.
the road, depending on where he is on the road, especially in the American League. There were times where when Cahill was with San Diego, he was actually kind of serviceable, but I just don't see that happening tonight. It's warming up down in Texas. We've had a lot of rain in the Midwest. So the humidity is going to be up there. It's going to be, about 40%. That wind's going to be blowing out to right field. It's just,
okay. So what's that mean? Cause you're the one that knows that stadium and its air currents. I know what happens when it's blown in from right.
When it blows in from right, then you want to go with right-handed bats going to right. But this way, okay, so with this stadium, the wind currents aren't nearly as drastic as they were, 3 years ago? Because they've okay. redone a building or whatever, but they're still pretty drastic. Like, it's one of the more drastic ones in MLB. Basically, what you want to do is, now that jet stream that shoots out to right center, now it's going to be, it's not really a jet stream. Now it's like a wind stream. So it's like normal pop-ups aren't going to be like warning track balls. They're going to end up in the second row. It's just like, I want to target guys that can put the ball out to right field. I want to target guys that have, the ability to hit the ball up the middle. I don't want to target dead pull hitters from the right side. Now, I'm not saying that Chris Davis can't go out and put one in the second deck in the left field. Okay. But I also know that Chris Davis can go the other way with a little bit of pop. I want to target, we're probably not going to see a lot of lefty type mashers in the lineup to start out. And Oakland's very, very, very big on, making sure that they kind of run their platoon splits. Guys like Matt Olson. I don't mind playing Matt Olson tonight because I know he's only going to get two, unless Matt Moore's thrown an absolute gem, which in that case, it doesn't matter anyways. But, I know Matt Olson is probably going to face four lefties. I haven't dove into exactly what the Rangers bullpen looks like as far as who's available and who's not. But I can guess that with a lefty on the mound, Matt Olson's probably going to play four lefties if he's in the lineup. If he's not in the lineup, which I hope he's not, then I don't have to worry about it. But guys like Stephen Piscotty, who can go the other way and is just absolutely just crushing the ball but getting very unlucky, versus left-handed pitching, is a guy that I'm going to be targeting in a lot of my lineups. So it's just kind of one of those things. Like, I look a lot of different numbers than most DFS players. Like, I don't look at WOBA because I think WOBA can be misleading. It's WOBA is telling me what has happened, not what is going to happen. WOBA is telling me, okay, is this guy getting on base at an abnormally higher clip, or is he not getting on base at his normal career clip? Like, but I don't care about his career. I want to know what's going to happen today. I look at WOBA for pitchers because it helps me kind of dive in a little bit more on what kind of damage is he surrendering rather than just WHIP. WHIP is walks plus hits plus over innings pitched. And if a guy has more than a 1.2, then I want to target him in offensive ballparks because now he's allowing almost, over one base runner per inning. And we know in these offensive ballparks, especially a guy that doesn't throw a lot of, that doesn't pound the strike zone, It's more of, and this, it hurts you more in Coors Field than it does probably any other ballpark. Walks kill you. And it's a theory along baseball. That's why you get, pitching coaches and managers that say, well, he just wasn't attacking the strike zone. A lot of these cliches that happen just end up kind of bleh, and it gets muddled around. Well, in Oakland, you can attack the strike zone, and what's going to be a home run in Texas is going to be a fly ball in front of the warning track in Oakland, So I look a lot of these things. But for like the Rangers, guys like Joey Gallo, Nomar Mazara, let's see here, Ronald Guzman, Senshu Chu, who's been absolutely murdering the baseball right now. These are guys that I'm going to be targeting a lot in my lineups, and they're cheaper than guys at Coors. I'm not stupid. I know the value of not having to or getting guys in offensive ballparks outside of Coors Field. I also know the value of getting Coors Field at, what was it, under 5% ownership like we did on Friday night?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not stupid. You could have just... If you stacked Coors on Friday, you probably won a lot of money, as long as you had the right pitcher.
Rant Would over. You like to hear that since you choose Woba against Cahill's a 542?
Sure, because okay. It tells me that he sees the ball well. And if he's not seeing the ball well as far as hitting it, or if even past seeing the ball well as far as hitting it, he's at least working walks to get on base.
Would you like to hear that Adrian Beltre's is a 465 with two dongs?
Sure, because he can go the opposite field. And it, like I said, I'm going to attack Trevor Cahill with extreme prejudice tonight.
Those are two that I would attack with. Oakland side, it worries me a little bit. I go with what I've seen. You go with what you are going to see. That's where we are a little bit different. What I've seen in Oakland is a team that scores a lot of runs and has been creating a lot of runs, and that's great. But what I'm also seeing as
you know
far
who
as
they remind
is getting
me of?
Ready. Who?
Kansas City a couple years ago when they went to the World Series back-to-back.
Yeah, well, I can buy that. I can absolutely buy that. What I see now, though, right now, in future predictions, obviously they're going to regress somehow. I think they're playing over their heads a little bit, and the numbers are starting to bear out in stuff like their hard contact and stuff like that. They're starting to trend down a little bit, which means they may settle back to earth a little bit here. And what this tells me as a DFS player is when somebody has been theoretically playing over their head and they're due to come back to earth and then they start coming back to earth, they're overpriced.
I can see that.
So where I don't necessarily think that all the way, I've still got your names, you know, your Simeons. Chris Davis can always hit two out. You know, Chapman, I think, might be a little bit overpriced. Piscotty, I think, is a huge value, especially if he finds his way up in the top of the order again. The one that's got me concerned a little bit is Jed Lowry. And the only reason why, I looked at all his numbers, he's trending up in hard contact. He's trending up in his WOBA and stuff like that. His OPS or his OBP is fine. And he's obviously been raking so far this year. But what gets me is his left-handed splits versus lefties. His ISO is like a 115. I don't know if that's him getting unlucky or if he just doesn't have a lot of power against lefties.
He just doesn't have a lot of power from the right side of the plate.
Then at 4K, why in the hell am I going to play that?
Because he's going to hit from the left side of the plate. Or, sorry, you're right. Never mind. Sorry, I forgot Matt Moore was a lefty.
So to me, that means that 4K, he's a little overpriced. I can look somewhere else.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like I wanted Matt Moore, or I wanted my Jed Lowry at like 3K, not at 4K.
So on this side of the plate.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even at
maybe both.
But exactly. I don't want to pay 3K for Jed Lowry.
It's just like I didn't want to pay $4,000 for Shohei Ohtani in the 8-hole. I mean, come on. I know the dude was balls on fire, and that was great and all. But I also know he can't hit a home run every day of his life. He's going to settle back to earth. And when he settles back to earth, I'm paying 4K for an 8-hole guy? Come on.
Yeah, don't tell that to a lot of people around. It's like, come on, man.
No, it's fine. Some people made a lot of money on him that week, and that's great. I couldn't do it. Once I missed the train, that train left the station, and I just waved bye-bye. I was like, I can't board you now, brother.
Yep. There you go. So, all right, let's move on. Los Angeles Angels and Houston Astros here. We've got Tyler Skaggs and Garrett Cole.
Almost as if the Ohtani reference was like playing them shit.
Segways. Man, segways. Yep. Gotta love them. I don't know what to do here. I mean, you got Matt Trout going against Garrett Cole. Garrett Cole's look amazing. He's one of those guys that he changed up his pitch sequencing, and he's attacking the strike zone in a different way now than he was in Pitt, and it's working out for him. Is this the new Garrett Cole? I don't know. But do I want to pay 10-7 for him going against Mike Trout and Ian Kinsler and Justin Upton? No, I don't.
But would it surprise me if he only allowed 2 runs and got 8 strikeouts and went 5 or 6 innings? No.
No.
I don't know what to do here. So at the top price of the slate, it's easy for me to say fade.
Well, it looks like the only one that actually sees him pretty much well is kind of Justin Upton. And it's not with power. I saw that. So, I mean, 10-7 is a lot for me to have to worry about paying for him.
He is not on my rankings at all. Not that I hate the guy. I just don't feel the need to pay for it and take the chance. It doesn't feel safe to me. Attacking the LA Angels is not something I'm going to be making a habit of doing this year.
Yeah, they just don't strike out a lot. Correct. And we've been saying that for years. They don't strike out a lot. I don't know. It's just kind of one of those things.
I'm giving up runs, I better be getting a bunch of strikeouts to make up for it.
Yeah, exactly. So, I'm kind of off this game in
me
general.
Too. God, thank you.
Except for maybe like a couple Astros bats, and mainly they're just fillers if there's some value depending on the lineup that they put out, because they're one of the lineups that I can never kind of predict. Cause they've got so many guys that can play multiple positions and hit in multiple spots of the lineup. So depending on what lineup comes out, I might have a little bit more interest. And I'm talking guys for the last week, we've seen, Altuve in the second hole. We've seen Correa in the 3 hole and Springer in the 1 hole. Like they're
say
best.
My boy's name though.
I'm not saying it. I'll let you say him because I'm not.
Well, I'm going to put myself out there again. If he finds the lineup, Jake Mariznick.
Even in the 9
Even hole? At the bottom. Yeah. Here's why. Mariznick has wheels. We know he steals some bases. We know he gets hot nickel. His OBP is like a 285 career. It's not great, but he has sneaky pop. He's never more than $3,000. And in this particular case, 4 for 4 with a dong against Skaggs. 4 for 4. Now, you're the smaller sample. You'll take smaller samples than I will in BVP, which is why it's so weird that I'm the one bringing it all up today. But 4 for 4 with a dong either tells me he had one great game, which is probably what that is, or he really does see the ball pretty well.
Yeah, we've got a 1,000 OPS.
Yeah, 285. ISO. Yeah, you got a 285 OBP guy who just went 4 for 4 off a dude. I mean,
go look at Carlos Correa.
Oh, I've seen.
Sorry, not Carlos Correa, George Springer.
Those are the guys. Here's my thing with the Astros bad. They were bad for a week or two, and then they got right the last 3 or 4 days. They got so right that every time I looked at them, I was pissed. I wasn't playing their slates, and I was pissed because I was just waiting and waiting and waiting. I mean, Springer, Altuve, Correa, and Bregman right now are all 4 over a 350 matchup WOBA on our research station. What is that? All that is the opposing pitchers WOBA and the hitters WOBAs averaged together. And when you go over 350, great balls of fire.
Yeah, there's potential. Still off of them. There is. I'm not saying that there's not. You know, the Astros we know can put up 12 runs in a hurry.
I'm still off the game. And here's why. You talked about it, and then we can move on to the next game. But when you've got your Gerrit Cole, and we're like, I don't know which one he really is. You know, he's got potential. He looks good this year. But, God, he's got a longer track record of being kind of and he's facing L.A., who doesn't strike out a lot. So I don't know which one I'm going to get, and I have to pay those prices to get it. Well, it's the exact same thing when you look at those Houston bats. It's like they look really good against Skaggs, but they've been weak for a couple of weeks, and then they got hot, and then I'm looking at them, and I'm going, I don't know which one I'm actually going to get tonight. And I got to pay those prices to do it? So if somebody plays Houston and it works out for them, God love you, because you got bigger balls than I got.
Yep.
I won't be playing either one of them. So that's all I have to say about that.
There you
go. I love that game. I just don't know where I'm going to go in it. I'll probably fade it off because I'm just like, ugh. I don't know.
There you go. All right, let's go on to Seattle and Chicago White Sox here. We got Carson Fulmer going against Mike Leake. Leake is actually a 147 favorite. This total is a 9. I don't care if Leake's a minus 350 favorite. I am stacking against him. I am attacking him. And mainly it has to do with the fact that he is, like, it seems like everything, he'll throw well. He will for 3 innings. But, like, he's still getting hit hard.
He's
keeping the ball in the ballpark, but I still have a feeling that some of these guys are going to get him tonight. And I'm sorry, but Yoan Moncada's looked like one of the top 10 players in baseball over the last week.
I don't have a lot of faith in the White Sox offense as a whole. Now, I do maybe against a Mike Leake, but I want to dig into that offense and
the numbers. I'm setting you up to target against a former Cardinals pitcher that you love railing against. You're going to tell me that you don't have a lot of confidence in him?
I'm going to say I don't have a lot of confidence in him. I'm not going to say I'm not going to do it. Look, man, I got married to an ugly woman.
Whoa.
I do a lot of things I don't have a lot of confidence in, but I do anyway.
And this podcast just went, I mean, am I going to be called as a witness? Am I going to be called as a witness in divorce court now?
The odds of my wife listening to this podcast today are about as good as me stacking Angels in Houston or stacking the Yankees and Padres or running Masahiro Tanaka out in about 9 out of 10 of my lineups. You combine – my odds of my wife listening to this podcast are worse than me walking out of my back deck on a sunny day getting hit by lightning. I'm safe with my joke. That's what I'm getting at.
All right.
I can see this game going off, though, can't you? I can see it being a shootout.
Yeah, I can.
And I can see it being Texas-Oakland shootout or Coors Field shootout. I don't know who on Chicago I like. But I kind of like them all, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean they've all got some sort of sneaky appeal to them.
I like Seattle. I know I like Seattle. If you look at our DFSA grades, we've got 4 or 5 Seattle guys over a 90.
Yeah.
Now, sorry, that's VIP only. You want to find out who those guys are?
Yeah, it's just absolutely.
Got to be a VIP. I am not telling you their names.
It's just absolutely stupid. It's not going to be who you're going to think.
Your Cano is up there and whatnot, but there's a few others that are slicky tricky.
Yeah. So, and it's not like the remaining of them are up there, are too far away. So.
Right.
It's just kind of one of those things.
That's a good. Now, I wonder, what do you think cash ownership will be in that one? Then we can move on to the next game. Will it be high but because we have Coors and because we have Oakland and Texas and because we have Yankees and popular brand names, even Houston and Mike Trouts and whatever, Seattle going to fly under the radar? Because they're arguably in the better cash spot tonight.
I think with the elevated pricing, yes. Maybe some of the lower end ones, but as far as the elevated pricing, yeah, they're going to be a little bit lower owned in cash.
Good.
So
good. Let's let everybody do that because that's where I'm going to probably run to first.
Yep. There you go. All right. So San Diego and Colorado here. We got Brian Mitchell and Chad Bettis, and this is kind of what we talk about. We've got a little formula that I like to go through when we talk about whether or not we like to attack Coors Field or not. And if we like to attack them on what side. And here's the reason I say that. Is the changeup and the cutter and the curveball are 3 of the more ineffective pitches when you talk about Coors Field. Okay. The ball doesn't move quite as much. It's not as crisp as it is in other parts of the country. We all know that. The sinker is one of the less effective pitches as well. The slider is one of the more effective pitches. Guess what Brian Mitchell throws?
Sliders.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't even have that in his arsenal.
Good.
He throws curves, he throws cutters, he throws changeups. And
all the fastballs. Flat pitches.
Yeah.
Good.
Bombs away.
It's a good sign for Colorado.
Yeah, because they need to string some hits together. This is a team that they've been kind of boom or bust. They have not strung a lot of hits together. And it's kind of one of those things like this is not how this team is normally going to go. They are going to be able to string hits together. It's just kind of been something.
It's the Rockies, dude.
I know.
That's what they do. They don't score 12 and 14 runs a game multiple times a year because they can't string hits together.
Yeah. And they just haven't done it.
They That's
just
what haven't they done do. It.
So, right. I have no problem with doing this. Unfortunately, we can't have one of my favorite players on FanDuel. So,
who's that? David Dahl?
Yeah.
Oh, Chop is still knows his boy Keith.
Yep. So, Ian Desmond's kind of coming back around. He had a couple hits yesterday. That game yesterday was absolutely crazy. We would have won. I have never seen a more impressive defensive series.
Could I ask you two questions?
Yeah. I was going to say, I've never seen more impressive defensive series as I did with Albert Amora Jr. as this weekend. Like, he saved by himself yesterday probably close to 6 runs.
Wow. How's Iannetta hitting lately?
Hitting the ball hard. It's just kind of...
Kind of come back to earth a little bit?
Yeah, it's just kind of missing it.
He had a couple of good games there. Really good.
Yeah, it's just kind of missing it. Just a little bit.
Part two to the question, what's the bottom half of your order going to do? Why? I mean, are you going to string hits together if the bottom half of the order is full of holes? Your top four are studs. Your top four, I mean, even Trevor Story, you're fine. I mean, I think they got good enough numbers, good enough historical numbers, and based on what you said about Brian Mitchell, I think they're all, you know, their fuses are lit.
Yeah, I mean, Ryan McMahon,
I worry about the bottom half of it. Is it ever going to flip over if one or two of those guys aren't hitting?
Yeah, Ian Desmond looks like he's starting to come out of it. Ryan McMahon, he had 3 hits the other night, and he's starting to come out of it a little bit. He's not hitting for the power that I know he's going to, but he will eventually. You know, Gerardo Parra is on the suspended list. Cargo's on the DL right now. And the only reason that Cargo went on the DL was because we needed to build some outfield depth. So we brought up Dahl. We brought up another guy because, like, Cargo couldn't play the field, but he could have pinch hit. And it's just kind of one of those things, you know.
That makes sense. It's just that's my concern with Colorado tonight. My other concern, the pricing differences on FanDuel and DraftKings for San Diego. You seen some of those?
Yeah.
Some of those are pretty glaring. And FanDuel. I don't know if that's a trap game.
FanDuel, let's refigure this out here, okay?
Or if FanDuel just screwed the pooch.
They screwed the pooch. There is zero way that you should be able to go get a potential leadoff hitter in Coors at 2.4K. It should not happen. There should not be a single player below
3K. Drop down one more step and look at the monster sitting in the two hole.
Well, if Austin Hedges is in there, he's 2K.
That's even better. That'll drop Myers to the 3. Maybe. So, I mean, I would hope.
Well, I don't know. I was just saying if he's in the lineup. Austin Hedges is 2K.
Okay, but I'm looking at Myers in the 2, and I'm just going, oh, my God.
Like, you know, if Matt Caesar is in the lineup, if Corey Spanderberg, Manny Margot is 2.4, Carlos Asuaje, like, come on,
I can see some of those. I can see the Caesar, and I can see...
They shouldn't be below 3K.
I can see them being that. I mean, Caesar, I've been watching for him for a while, and he played, I think, yesterday, and maybe he's played. I haven't seen him play a lot when I've been targeting a specific slate to really go dig for him. But at Coors, I can see him being one of those cheapest on their roster. You can say under 3K or that he shouldn't be or whatever, but one of the cheapest ones. And that would be somebody that I would gladly target when I see them pop
the
up.
The problem is
3.2 or 2.75. But this is ridiculous.
We're targeting a guy that's pitched pretty well this season, is back to full strength. And he pitches, historically, he pitches a lot better at Coors than he does on the road.
Right. So those prices are either a trap or the dumbest thing FanDuel's ever done.
I think it's a little bit of both. I don't think it's necessarily a trap because you're getting in the best offensive park that, I mean, we saw what Coors did this year or this last weekend. And there's no weather concerns. It's going to be 66 degrees and like the jet stream's blown out to right center. It's
not that unrealistic to think that on DraftKings, if Kershaw and Scherzer were going against each other again, you could run them both and then a freaking Padres stack in Coors. And that's stupid.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be allowed to do that.
All right. Let's go on to Miami and the Dodgers. Got a former Tulsa driller here, Walker Buehler, just called up and actually making the start today. I don't understand why, but he's popping off the model. Actually, I do understand why. He's a number two pitching prospect.
They gave him a minus 240 in Vegas.
Yeah,
they didn't give it to him. They gave it to the Dodgers.
Well, it's not like these Dodgers bats are lighting it up either.
That's the amazing thing. I'm not saying that Miami's going to go in there really good, because I'll tell you this. Our DFSA grades inside our research station aren't real high on the Dodgers today.
Yeah. So
I don't know what old Yarlin Garcia's done or whatever, but, I haven't looked at his numbers. I just know that Dodgers are not in my top five or six offenses to target tonight.
Overall, he's got like a 182 WOBA.
Okay. Well, it's got to be a small sample size.
Yeah, it's just the season.
Because when I look at that, Miami, again, like I said before, is actually the worst in the league at run differential. They ain't scoring, and they're giving up a lot. That tells me I should be targeting them. I should be thrilled that the Dodgers are playing them tonight.
Yeah, except you can't use Walker Buehler on FanDuel.
But, well, I should be thrilled to use their bats, but the problem is I can't really get in there because I've got Oakland and I've got Colorado and San Diego and I've got Cleveland, and they're all in a little bit better spot based on their – but, I mean, LA should be in a great spot.
Maybe
not one of the top five spots. So that – those always throw me off too and make me and I didn't even mention Houston and LA. That's how far down the list they are for me. Mm-hmm. As far as matchup and who I really want to target, they are all talented. Mike Trout can go 4-for-4 with four Smokies tonight, and I mean, it wouldn't shock me. But it's not something I'm going to target because I don't think it has the frequency, the possibility of happening as often as it does in other matchups.
Yeah, my point is, I trust my numbers and my model enough that if I was playing on DK, that I would play Walker Buehler. So I've seen
this guy. Fire away. He's got to be min-priced.
I think he's 5.5K.
There you go. Because first of all, he's in Coors where they're cheaper anyway. Second of all, he's coming up making his debut, so he's going to be cheap there. I mean, all he needs, 15 to 20 out of the guy?
Yeah, well, if he was on FanDuel, he's projecting – like, I have his projected FanDuel points. Let's see here. He's not going to be in the player pool, so I'd have to pull up my model. I don't project that high. At the first run of the model, I had him projected as the second highest scorer pitcher on the slate.
That's scary.
So.
Okay, so it's time to make a bet with you. Who has the higher point total on FanDuel tonight? I can't even hardly get it out of my mouth.
Who, Bettis or Walker Buehler?
No, Buehler or Cahill.
I mean, I'll take Walker Buehler.
I know you will. I'll take Cahill just to troll you.
Oh my god! All right,
just troll you.
Washington Nationals, San Francisco Giants here. Let's get this done in another one. Gio Gonzalez versus Chris Stratton. First off, don't expect a 21 pitch at bat from anybody in this.
You think?
Yeah, no kidding.
You act like that was a record or something.
Oh, yeah.
13-minute at bat.
I am.
I had time to go drop a deuce and come back.
I can't even go on with baseball analysis. This is one of those times where I'm going to stack a team in the worst hitter's environment at all possible, and it's going to be the Washington Nationals against Chris Stratton.
Like, good.
I love, as long as they put out the right lineup, a correct lineup, then you can start off with Trey Turner against a righty, go Bryce Harper, Ryan Zimmerman, and I'll even take some Michael A. Taylor as long as he's going to get on base.
I assume you follow Mark, our weather boy.
No.
No.
Yes, okay. I do. Yes, I do.
I assume you've read his article on air density.
No.
Shameless plug for those that haven't. This is something that I always got confused with Coors Field and some of these others, and he was finally able to set me straight. You tried multiple times, but he finally set me straight. Humidity. I always wondered why a golf ball traveled farther in humid air, and it's because there's less air molecules in there. It's more water vapor, so there's less air, so there's less drag on the ball, whatever. It goes farther. When I used to hit golf balls, I always wondered why I hit the ball 2-3 yards further on humid days. That was why. This is the worst hitting environment in all of baseball, but it is not. It is not tonight.
Thank you very much.
If you look at the thing, we got, what, 58 degrees. It's not too terribly cold.
Tell me what the humidity is at first pitch.
Supposed to be 74%.
Anywhere between 60% and 75%. That's yes, it is.
That's St. Louis summer humid.
Yeah.
That's Atlanta. It's hot Atlanta humid. I mean, Houston humid. 58 degrees humid with the wind blowing out at 14 miles an hour. Hello.
Yep. Absolutely. Big fly. So, yeah, I'm going to be. So
you're stacking us, and that's all good, brother.
Yep. I'm going to be attacking this game with the Washington Nationals. So I don't have really a lot of interest outside a couple one-offs maybe for the Giants here. I definitely don't have any interest in Gio Gonzalez, and I definitely don't have any interest in Chris Stratton.
Who are your one-offs for San Francisco?
Probably Brandon Belt. He's hitting the ball pretty well. If Nick Hundley's in the lineup, I do like him.
Yeah, I like him. I had him written down.
Those are probably the two that I have the most interest in right now. But we'll see what kind of happens as they come out with lineups.
Let me throw two more at you, BVP boy.
Go.
Posey, 424 OBP, 950 OPS versus Geo.
How many at bats?
It's probably relatively small. I mean, it's under 20, or I'd have probably noted that it was a huge sample. Oh, I'll be damned. What about Kutch? Because he's a 373 OBP and a 930 OPS.
6 for 20.
Okay. So, yeah, 6 for 20 doesn't sound that great, but the only reason you're OPSing 900 something is because you did something with the six.
Yeah, it looks like one RBI, 5 strikeouts, though, which kind of concerns me. So it's like boom or bust. But, yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. And when you're BVPing a guy like Gio, who's going to carry some ownership tonight.
Yeah, that's all that really matters, especially when a lot of ownership is going to be kind of guarded elsewhere in different hitting environments. So.
You mentioned Harper. I'll throw one at you if he finds a lineup, which I don't suppose. Well, maybe he will. It's projected in the 5 spot. Fat Adams, formerly Fat Adams. Matt Adams has an 840 OPS and a 240 ISO against lefties over a two-year span. Now, that's not Bryce Harper and that's not Mike Trout.
Matt but Adams would be, you mean against righties?
Yeah, my bad. I said lefties. I was looking over at Gio. I'm sorry. Yes. Against righties, Chris Stratton, not the greatest pitcher in the freaking world, obviously. But, and like I said, Matt Adams, his OPS is not Bryce Harper, Mike Trout, or whatever else. But for $2,100,
yeah.
I see Stratton in the 5 with the wind blowing out, 75% humidity in a non-freezing game, 5-hole in that offense at 2.1K with a 240 ISO?
Yep.
If he gets his launch angle right, to use everybody's favorite buzzword, that ball could hit the moon. He could carry Alcatraz. Little geography lesson.
Yep.
All right. Dude, I love doing podcasts with you.
Yep. Absolutely. That's going to do it for us today. Make sure you guys tune into all of our articles. Everything will be up a little bit later on as we start to get lineups released and everything. So, Chop, it's been a lot of fun, and we'll holla at you later.
Always, buddy.
Peace out.